This is Cyber AI, and I'm Alan W. Silverberg, here to decode the complex, dangerous intersections of cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and your digital reputation. Whether you're a public figure, a CEO of a large company or a small company, creator, or a parent like me, and a CEO, this one is for you. Bam! There it is. You wake up in the morning, right as before you even get a cup of coffee, you have your phone in your hand, like most people do. You open up your phone. Before you start to scroll more than halfway down the screen, all of a sudden, your day is ruined. It's over. Hits you like a truck. A digital crisis. Your digital crisis. Your company's digital crisis. Your brand's digital crisis. A reputational tsunami, if you want to call it that. So what is a reputational tsunami? It's a little nasty surprise left for you overnight, usually made by a person, sometimes by a bot, sometimes both. Sometimes it's made by companies. Sometimes it's made by hackers. Sometimes it's done by an ex-lover or a former business partner or someone that you're in litigation with or someone who's been stalking you. Or there could be any number of reasons why this happens. But basically, it's a digital takedown. It's a digital takedown of your name, of your branding, of your brand name. What does that mean in today's world when the first thing that someone does when they think of you or your company or your name is to search for you? They search in Google, in Bing, in Yahoo, but also in all the various social media engines, they're also searching. So that the more social media content that's being driven about a specific name will immediately affect search engines. And all the people who I just mentioned, these bad players, know that when they want to do a digital takedown of someone, when they want to create a reputational tsunami, that they're hitting all these things at once. And for many companies and many people, when this hits, it is completely unprepared because it's not through their own fault, but often there's just a digital vacuum around that name or that person, and the opponents see that vacuum and basically just jump in. So what's a digital takedown? Maybe it's a blog post that's been weaponized against your brand, using your brand name in SEO tags and in metadata that's negative. It could be a meme taking off that's viral across social media, designed to humiliate you personally or mislead the world about your information or about your company or something that you've done or not done. It could be a fake review online orchestrated by competitors, hiring companies specifically just to do that. Or even worse, a malicious post combined with a malware-laden link as well as the reputational takedown, waiting for your audience to basically click, spread, and then implode upon themselves as well. This is when companies and even celebrities call my company DigiJax Group, but we'll get to that another time. Face it, the internet is a hostile place for your reputation, extremely hostile. It's getting worse and worse, and generative AI such as ChatGPT and Gemini and other ones that are included in various search engines have just made this even worse. Because now, once something that's bad is getting out there, it's not just being spread in social media and in virality posts or in search, but it is now also being carried in generative AI, which then translates that into other software that's using the generative AI or other applications. And so the magnification effect is much broader than it was just a few years ago. Whether you're an individual, a company, or a government agency, your brand is your name online. It lives and breathes online. When it gets hurt online, you get hurt. For many people, when their reputation gets harmed online, they immediately see an economic effect on their lives, and they see other effects on their lives depending on what the content is that's being said about them. Whether you're, again, this extends to huge corporations, private individuals, celebrities, anyone who has a name to protect. So here's the actual hard truth about this. The control and management of your own cybersecurity, your company's cybersecurity, your personal cybersecurity, as well as your reputation, and your appearance on social media begins and ends with you. Now, again, I keep saying this, whether you're a large company or a person. I have personally conducted trainings of Fortune 100 companies where when they brought me in to start training their teams on this stuff, the questions that were being asked were so naive and vague because these teams had not been trained in this type of aggressive reputation control. That is not always the case. There are some companies that are extremely well prepared for this. Most individuals, however, are not. Most people who are not a celebrity and don't have a number of people around them trying to help maintain their name and their brand often struggle and actually have a very difficult time in trying to control both their appearance online, their reputation in search engines, as well as making sure that they're not getting hacked, making sure that someone is not taking over their Instagram account to create a reputation problem, for example. It is possible to outsource strategy. You can hire help, like companies like DigiJax, but you cannot outsource the responsibility. The responsibility of this control comes back to you and your company and your organization. And if you're not taking these active steps, otherwise other people are going to take active steps in your vacuum, but they're going to be negative active steps. They're going to harm you. They're going to harm your business. They're going to harm your government. They're going to harm your nonprofit or your family. Back in 2010, seems like a long time ago now, and again in 2014, we were already saying, I was saying, the exact same thing here. Cybersecurity, reputation management, and social media are now inseparable. And now you have to add in the generative AI piece as well to that, and also now augmented reality and artificial reality that makes use of fake information to then create something that seems real, whether it's a synthetic identity like I've discussed in an earlier podcast, or another use of synthetic on automated tools to create a process that people are fooled. And so let's talk about this digital ecosystem in the AI age of 2025. All of this that I've just said is now more true than ever before. It happens much faster than ever before, and the effects are broader and often take longer to fix as well. What is that, like the digital ecosystem that surrounds you as a person or as a family or as a business, government agency? What are these things? So let's just talk about a few. Social media, obviously, right? I mean, that's like the big one. Everyone's having a conversation about something, whether it's cats, dogs, movies, TV shows, pornography, children, parents, medicine, cryptocurrency, you name it, whatever. People are talking constantly, okay? The digital ecosystem obviously includes this cloud. The cloud might be mysterious to many people. What is a cloud? Well, when you save something in Google Drive, you've saved it in the cloud. Just to break it down in the most simple terms, when you're processing your car payment every month, most likely there's a cloud-based app that's doing part of the processing, if not all of it. The cloud is all around us. It is something that contains a huge amount of data, probably potentially worth trillions of dollars. And so obviously, this part of the digital ecosystem is something that's very important and is actively used in all time types of reputation attacks as well as reputation defense. Artificial intelligence is a term, right? We hear it all the time. AI this, AI that. Is your company doing AI? Is my company doing AI? What AI have you done? You know, pretty soon it'll be like, you know, like the old milk commercials, got AI. Except I don't know how they'll put, I guess I'll have to put a tattoo of an AI on people's lips. AI is an extremely broad term. It is not just the generative AI that you see in that we're using in ChatGPT or in other types of consumer-facing functions. It is not just the type of AI you see in Microsoft Word or Excel or in other programs or on Apple. Siri, obviously, is an example of artificial intelligence. Mapping is a form of artificial intelligence. And the thing about artificial intelligence is it actually is already all around us. It's been in use for years. But it's only that we're now hearing about the sort of consumer-facing side. So it's gotten kind of it's the buzzword. But artificial intelligence will be here for a long time. It's not going anywhere. It's going to change, especially with quantum computing. But it is an integral part of any reputation attack, any reputation defense process. Crypto wallets are really cool. You can buy cryptocurrency. You can exchange cryptocurrency. You can move money back and forth very quickly, obviously. But it is also a huge center of attacks, reputation attacks, and also regular cybersecurity hacks. Now, on the reputation side with crypto, what often you see is phishing, people trying to pretend to be other people to gain access to large wallets. But you also see a number of phishing emails and other types of fake synthetic media that uses crypto, like the notion of making money very quickly or being able to hold your money, or uses the notion of crypto as the social engineering mechanism to get into your head and then click on something. So, you know, learn more about our special process to make more money off Bitcoin than your neighbor does. Click here. Well, some people are going to click on that. I would never, but a lot of people will. Another part of the digital ecosystem that surrounds us all is keyless entry. Now, people don't think about this at the office because there's other people around. But if you have an access card to your business or your place of work, obviously you're using that access card to prove who you are when you walk in the door, often to get in the door, and also timestamping and knowing where you are, depending on whether there's an RFID chip on your card or other types of technology on board the card where the employer can track you. People have a lot of keyless entry systems at homes now. Keyless entry exists on cars, obviously. It exists on all types of transportation devices. It is also something that, unfortunately, is very easily hacked in many situations if the proper precautions are not taken. And keyless entry is also something often used in these sort of reputation attacks too, because people will pretend to be someone to gain access to a fob or something where that then gives them access to the premises. But they used some sort of reputation trick or some sort of social engineering built into that to get to that point. Bring your own devices. I mean, nowadays that term almost seems quaint, right? Because everyone is pretty much, you can't go anywhere without your own device. Whether that's work or play or church or synagogue or a mosque or a music festival or a museum or going shopping, whatever. Onboard your phone, if you have a new phone, less than a couple of years old, I should say, you are carrying something that has the digital computing power, actually more than the digital computing power of all the computers that launched the Apollo space mission into space in the 70s and even in the 80s with the space shuttle. We're still at a point now where in your hand you have more computing power in your hand than maybe NASA did entirely for all of those missions at that time. That's an astounding thing to say. What does that mean? You can stream YouTube from a street in any part of the world. You can trade stocks and bonds anywhere in the world. You can send love notes. You can send hate notes. You can get stalked anywhere in the world. Also, you're shedding off all sorts of bits and pieces about your reputation, your name, your brand, where you go, how do you go? Are you driving in a Porsche? Are you driving in a beaten up old jalopy? Are you arriving by Uber? Are you arriving by train? Our phones actually are sharing all this information as we walk around, as we talk. There's telemetry devices that are built into mobile phones that tell the provider and the carrier and the maker of the phone, plus whoever else they're selling that information to, exactly what height you're at, if you're going upstairs or not. Are you on the second floor of a building? Are you in the corner of a building? And so all of these little tiny digital pieces get put together so if someone's going to form a large-scale reputation attack against you or your brand or your company, in other words, create a reputation tsunami against you, the more information they have about who you are and how you are, or how your business operates, or how your employees in the field get messages, then the more likely it is that they can craft that reputation attack in a much more believable fashion. mobility is something that we all are starting to take for granted. Now, when I say mobility, I don't mean necessarily that just being able to get up and walk around, although to many people who might be handicapped or otherwise not able to walk, that is a huge, that is their first concern, mobility, just getting up and walking around. But for those of us who have cars or using various types of transportation, we are subjecting ourselves to both camera surveillance, license plate surveillance, plus all these telemetry factors that I just talked about with your smartphone are also on board your car. The average smart car at this point is putting out roughly 300 to 400 digital points about you per minute. Now, well, that means that there's data brokers who could be buying that information in real time and then selling it and piecing it up. And again, if someone wants to make a reputation attack against your company or your brand or your name, the more that they know about your behavior and where you are and what you're doing, the easier it is to craft these types of believable reputation attacks. Autonomous computing, quantum computing obviously takes all of this to a whole new level. And where there's no more people involved, and now it's basically just automated attacks. I talked about this briefly in my other podcast about synthetic identities. But basically, you know, what we're looking at now is instead of it being a group of hackers in a basement trying to harm your name and trying to get you to send some money, it is now AI and computers and automated computing driving some of these attacks. And there's no people involved except whoever pushed the initial put button to get started and to stop it. And sometimes at this point, not even that. Sometimes all these attacks are fully automated. And that means that defenders have to look at these reputation attacks now in a very different light. It used to be that you could say, well, here's the attribution. In other words, here's who is doing this to us. Now, with these synthetic and computational attacks, a reputation attack is not so easily sourced. You can't necessarily say, well, this is the person or a group behind it. So that means that we have to think differently about cybersecurity and the other pieces that underpin reputation first as well. Because if you can't protect your passwords or your firewalls, you can't protect your identity or your family or your company or your future. And all of these things are tied together. They're intricately tied together. Loss of privacy is something that is basically now automated. Let me just say that again. Loss of privacy is now automated. You're being tracked so much through your phone, your car, social media, geotagging, through devices that are literally broadcasting your immediate location 24 hours a day. And guess what? Most people, I am also guilty of this sometimes, are volunteering this data themselves simply by using these tools. So, hey Siri, tell me, you know, about the best Chinese restaurant near me. Can you make a reservation for me? Well, that little bit of voice action right there just was enough words to be used to make a fake voice or other things. So people are volunteering this data all the time. Companies are volunteering this data. If you have a company workforce and you've got 50,000 people out in the field and they all have a smartphone, if not two, then you have to extrapolate that the amount of data that you're sending out per day is going to be in the millions of bits of information per day simply by that. And so what these numbers start to get really huge. When a large company is targeted for a reputation attack and it takes 2 or 3 months to set it up, and then all of a sudden everyone wakes up in the morning and there's just all this huge bad news and you're horrible, that's one thing. But when a website gets distorted or someone's social media account gets taken over instantly, it's also, that it might not have taken 3 months to plan. That might have just been lucky. Someone hacked it. And then instead of your pictures, your brand pictures, now they're putting up Bozo the Clown, or they're putting worse child pornography or drugs or whatever. All of this can happen so fast, excuse me, in today's world that we all have to be dealing in a defensive mode. The defensive mode actually has to be proactive 24 hours a day. When your online reputation is compromised, and again, whether this is true, whether you are a large business or a government or a celebrity or an athlete or a musician, when your reputation, online reputation is compromised, it is when it's defaced or distorted. It's not just a PR issue anymore. It's your future income. It's your social mobility. It's your brand equity, gone, evaporated, boom. People wake up in the morning and see years of work destroyed because of something that's out there on maybe a fake post. Because the thing that my business, DigiJax Group, one, we are a privately owned company, I own a company, that reputation equals revenue. I have said this to some of the most successful people in the world and some of the largest companies in the world. This has always been part of the training that I provide. Reputation equals revenue. Whether you believe that or not, number one, that is the fact. Number two, when you believe it and you understand it, you start to look at your cybersecurity posture and your social media posts and your PR information and how your lawyers are communicating everything in a completely different manner. And when you start to look at it as a strategy and a tactic, as opposed to, oh, well, we'll deal with it when it happens, it becomes part of the business metrics. Whether you're a founder, a singer, a VC, or even a city official, your digital presence is either your biggest asset or your biggest vulnerability. And if you do not recognize that, then you're simply gambling with the future of yourself or your constituents or whomever is the group that it is that you're trying to help. With my company, DigiJax Group, we work with high impact individuals, brands, and organizations to defend against this cyber social threat matrix. If you want to learn more, please go to digijax.com, click on Cyber AI with Alan Silverberg, and there's a button that you can click to learn more about the services that we offer through to listeners who are listening to this podcast. They are clickable products that you are hosted on Square and easily accessible to people. I believe it make it easy to get some of the most complicated defenses available for you. So here are the top 10 ways that cybersecurity, social media, and reputation management mesh together in today's world. I kind of discussed some of this a little bit, but we're going to just go over it. Social media, it's the front door. It's the entry point for viruses, malware, phishing, and reconnaissance. People wanting to see what you post. People wanting to see who your friends are, what their friends are, your enemies, your competitors, your trolls. They're learning everything that they can about you to reverse engineer your digital identity and destroy it. This is like reputation management 101. Tie that with generative AI and using generative AI to insert fake information into the generative AI to really harm people, because then the search engines will pick it up from the generative AI and vice versa. So now what we see is that social media and generative AI combined together become basically one of the most dangerous tools used in any reputation tsunami attack, period. The mobility of everything. Instant access to everything, email, SMS, cloud, video, apps, your location, your car. It means that a single mistake, an overheard conversation, a leaked video, can obliterate your brand in a matter of seconds and then repost it and used again and again and again, or worse, turned into some other kind of content that's even different and maybe perverts your picture or perverts your image into something obviously it never was and never will be. Cloud services are awesome to use. Who doesn't love being able to save $100 up in the cloud and then read them whenever you want, or movies? But they're also giant attack services. What are you storing? Photos, docs, are you storing contracts, taxes, your will, stock and bond information about your kids, information about your sexual proclivities or your drug use or any other kind of thing you don't want people to know about. That same cloud can also be used to extort you, harass you, ruin you. So if you're not locking everything down with two-factor authentication, at the very, very least, you're taking a huge risk. But in the cloud, specifically, you have to really look at which platform that you are using and how the provisions are set up in from that cloud provider to provide security. Each one's different. And even within Amazon, for example, different types of buckets require different types of setup and security depending on what you're using it for and how it's connected to other cloud services. when you talk about your own devices and your own phones and watches and tablets and cars, you know what? It is fun. It's like really fun to be able to walk in and show people, hey, look what I did. Look, listen to this music. Watch that. But you know what? For your chief information security officer, the CISO, it's living hell. It makes their life miserable. The BYOD, bring your own device, it means bringing many people are bringing unsanctioned devices into areas where it means that suddenly they might have unsanctioned access to sensitive information or zero control over what other people are sharing or leaking. Ask yourself right now, is your phone encrypted? As an executive, does your business make you encrypt your phone? If not, why not? Do you have crypto wallets on it? Do you have crypto wallets on your home phone, on your work phone? Do you have banking apps? Do you have your health insurance? Do you have your driver's license? Do you have your passport? What do you have on your phone? Because the problem is that you're sharing it in the cloud. You're sharing it on as you drive. You're linking it to the various devices. So you're providing unsanctioned access potentially to your own device, but then the device provides unsanctioned access potentially to your employer. So artificial intelligence, AI is here. It's watching, it's learning, it's making mistakes, it makes fools of itself, but it also is being used in very, very, very smart ways, whether it's national defense and security, finance, medicine, and these uses are only going to increase. AI is shaping the beginnings and or if not the ends of deep fake impersonations. In other words, they're making it so easy to do now that it all you have to do is basically push a button. From deep fake impersonations to social engineering bots to fully autonomous misinformation campaigns, the AI is the battlefield. It's not just part of the battlefield, it is the battlefield. And if you don't understand that yet, you're already behind. And I don't care if you're a CISO for a Fortune 50 company or you work for a government agency. But if you do not understand this simple concept, that the battlefield that you are on is being shaped every moment by AI, then you need to step back and let someone up who does understand this. Now, with reputation attacks and reputation tsunamis, often one of the weakest links is lazy people. I mean, it's harsh, but it's true. Okay, sometimes breaches and takedowns happen because someone just didn't check their settings on their phone or their computer, or they let someone else borrow their login because they needed to, or they were being nice, or they needed an extra $100 or whatever. Or they didn't bother using password controls or two-factor authentication. Laziness itself has now become, if it wasn't already, a major cyber threat vector, especially for reputation attacks. Because people get lazy, something slips out, all of a sudden someone else picks it up, and then that becomes a reputation attack. Your competition has the same tools that you do, if not more, if they're a bigger company. Some of your competition are already hiring hackers. They have already hired hackers. Some will try to infiltrate your company through hacking. Some will try to infiltrate your company through reputational damage. Some will do it through social engineering campaigns. Others will launch fake campaigns or plant stories. Corporate espionage in general, is not just for governments anymore. It's really happening to all of us in many ways. People who are getting stalked in their private lives, that's a form of surveillance and espionage. But the espionage is against them, not against the government. Bad people exist on the internet. I mean, I definitely don't need to be saying that, but I have to say that again and again and again. It is something that everyone has to recognize. There are very, very bad people, bad groups with extremely ill intent. They're real villains. They're not movie villains. They're not TV villains. They are real. From social media frauds to email phishers, from shady investors to online pirates, they do not care what your mission or about your values. They're literally here to exploit and destroy, whether that's through hacking or using information that they got from a hack to create a reputation tsunami or both. Okay, and this one, I mean, this is almost like one, again, I shouldn't have to say this, but I am saying it because it's here. It's been here ever since the internet started. stupid pictures. People, please stop. Just stop posting all these ridiculous, stupid pictures. If you don't want your face, your body, or your behavior shown on the front page of the newspaper or in the courtroom or in a boardroom, don't post it. It's really simple. Same goes for your kids, your friends, your partners. There is too much oversharing. There is just too many people out there taking stupid pictures of other people that they are not asking permission and then putting it out on the internet and not asking permission. Is it okay for me to share this thing? As a result, what happens is many, especially individuals, find themselves in reputation-driven attacks because of a stupid picture, because of something they stupidly posted on Facebook 10 years ago, someone found it, or worse, something that they texted to someone in WhatsApp and then that person posted it. If I could just, especially to the younger generations out there, if any one of them are you listening, don't post these stupid pictures of yourself, your family, these pranks, these things. They seem funny at the time, but they have lifelong digital effects for you. So the digital health, your digital health, your organizational digital health. When was the last time you Googled yourself? Checked your own mentions? Looked at your public-facing social feeds through the eyes of a stranger? If you're not checking the health of your own digital reputation, you're not managing it. Worse, you might be giving bad people the opportunity to check your digital reputation and see where the holes are and then create a reputational tsunami because you took a couple days off and decided not to do something and they said, no, we're going to step in right here into this vacuum. The digital world does not take days off. Neither do your threats. Neither do these active people trying to harm your companies and your name. So what are you doing to protect your online reputation, your identity, your digital assets? This is no longer about privacy settings or just cleaning up your Twitter. It's about survival, brand survival, personal survival, financial survival, your name survival. The truth is, if you're not proactive, you're not being proactive, then you're reactive. And in the cyber reputation warfare zone, reactive is too late. Reputational tsunamis affect all of us. I've been dealing with them personally as a business owner, working with large-scale reputation attacks against our clients in every form. And I can tell you that whether you are a Fortune 500 or a Fortune 50 company, or you are the CEO of a private company, or you're a celebrity or an athlete, or a doctor, or a dentist, or a teacher, or a bus driver. When someone decides to take your name and turn it into something else online, the effects are a digital reputational tsunami. And it is extremely devastating. My company, DigiJax Group, we do directly help these types of situations. If you feel that you need help, please reach out to us at DigiJax.com. We offer special services for podcast listeners, and you can see those links on the website. Thanks for listening to Cyber AI, where we dive deep into the intersection of cybersecurity, artificial intelligence, and digital reputation. I'm Alan Silberberg. If this hit home, share this episode, drop a review, subscribe on Spotify, and reach out, because the next reputational tsunami may already be forming. Stay safe, stay sharp, and until next time.
Circus hum, cyber AI, where the techies come. Alan Silberberg with the beating drum, diving deep where the future's from. Stay plugged into the cyber sky. Alan Silberberg keeps the answers nigh. Cyber AI, where the sparks will fly. Until next time, we amplify.